You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Everywhere, everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
Do you think that the society that you live in is one you ought to rebel against, or do you think you're rebelling against it?
Yes, definitely rebelling against it.
To ride
and sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun.
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
Kind of gigging, Johnny,
till I die.
They all listen to like most music, you know, and that's what we're doing is we're here to alleviate that, you know, get people dancing, help them remember what rock and roll used to be like, and is now, but only in a very few cases.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area, and also syndicating across several different stations here in Canada. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined by Adam Pelche. Adam, hello and welcome.
Hey, Dave, and hello, listeners. Very excited to be on this edition of Revolution Rock because, you know what, I can't be biased about this. We're going to be celebrating the anniversary of one of my favorite albums of all time, one that really changed the game for me and really altered the way that I looked at what rock and roll music could be, the debut album from the New York Dolls.
Yes, this album, well, it changed a lot of things, although initially when it came out, it was a huge commercial flop, but it went on to become this cult record that basically it predated a lot of things and influenced what would eventually become punk across many different places in the world, including the UK, New York.
Mm-hmm. And the influence even spread further on to a lot of bands that you would not normally associate with being influenced by New York Dolls, bands like Pulp or The Smiths. And, you know, certainly we're going to give a lot of context for this, but there is a very huge history behind this record, not only with its inception or lack thereof from the mass audience, but also how it came about, the history of the group, and then, as Dave was mentioning, the effect it had after its release. So we're going to be exploring all of that, and as we normally do for big albums, we're going to play the entirety of it front to back on this edition of Revolution Rock, but with a twist, as we like to say. We're going to be playing the entire album, but in addition to the album tracks, we're going to be intersplicing alternative takes, demo versions, and various other versions of these songs, including some by New York Dolls members as solo projects.
Yes. So we will get to that momentarily. Also, another thing, although they're not our favorite genres, New York Dolls also did influence a lot of 80s hair metal and stuff like that, too.
I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't really matter whether or not you like a band like Guns N' Roses. You can't deny they were huge. You can't deny the cultural impact they had on rock music. And, you know, definitely that would not be there without a band like the New York Dolls setting a template for them. And really, you can say they did that arguably more so than any other glitter or glam rock group at the time. Even though, you know, none of those groups came close to the acerbic wit, the intelligence, or the sensitivity of the songs the New York Dolls produced. And some people may scoff at the idea of New York Dolls songs being sensitive. What is this, Donovan? No, no. Their sensitivity was more an acute awareness of urban alienation, the distance that youth felt from being in a very inauthentic feeling culture. And I think they did more to progress music lyrically than the so-called progressive bands at the time that they were a contrast to. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be getting to that later on. We're also going to be highlighting some live performances that will be taking place later on this month, actually, by bands like By Divine Right, Shotgun Jimmy, Ron Leary, some new releases by the likes of Dead Bob, The Stools. But we're also going to be highlighting a live show taking place tonight.
Yes, at Kraft Heads here in Windsor. Well, Psychic Void is playing along with several other hardcore bands and heavy bands, including Hellraiser, which is a very heavy band that hasn't played,
they're,
I think,
at least
in a
like
decade.
6 tons, yeah.
I think it's been at least a decade since they've played, and they're reuniting and playing tonight in Windsor. Psychic Void is opening the show, which is not normally how it works with Psychic Void, but we're going to actually start off the set with a few different things. We're going to be playing some Smashing Pumpkins. Maybe you can briefly mention what is going to be contained in this set.
Oh, okay, so you know what? Smashing Pumpkins, definitely not the usual flavor that we play on this program, but, you know, a pretty significant anniversary again, the 30th anniversary of Siamese Dream. In my estimation, really the only album of the band, maybe with the exception of Gish, that's worthwhile listening to. But we're not going to play anything from the album itself. We're going to play a cover and a track that was recorded around the time of it. We're also going to be going back featuring some music from Blue Oil, that all-female Quebec punk band that we played a track from last week. I promised we'd play some more. We're definitely getting to that. And we're going to play a cover as well. We talked about Smashing Pumpkins. There was a band called Fruit Bats that did a complete song-for-song cover album of Siamese Dream. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that, as well as music from Ancient Shapes, Dead Bob, and B.A. Johnston. But as mentioned, we're going to start things off with a brand new track from Psychic Void, Back to Reality.
Yeah, this just came out Friday, and you're hearing it here hopefully first, but it's a great track nonetheless. And that's how we're going to start off the show on Revolution Rock here tonight. This is Back to Reality from Psychic Void. We'll be right back.
Fosse Puzzi incredibile. Vuol d'accento perdere.
They got a secret for you.
For the heart.
Everything they do.
For the heart.
And they know you like it too.
For the heart.
Oh. Let me reach you here.
Oh.
Don't forget they're near.
Oh.
Can you wake up now? Wait, wait. Wake up. Find me a job. Give me a way. Sell me to the nation. You can't even hear. No.
zombie. Bob Barker and bloodshot eyes, gonna stay tuned till the day I die. Television zombie. My girlfriend is losing hope, you know she just can't cope. Oh yeah.
You're tuned in to CJM 99.1 FM and listening to Revolution Rock. I'm Adam, and I'm here with Dave, and we're bringing you great rock and roll music all throughout your Saturday night up until 9 o'clock, where Mark Casabon takes over with the Cowboys and Indies program. But we're coming back from a little bit of a shorter block there, ending off with Hamilton's own B.A. Johnston, something from his latest release, Argo Suck. That's his opinion, not ours, so please don't give us any flame mail. We heard TV's On Babe, Television Zombie.
Part of that, we heard music from Dead Bob. This is from a new album?
Yeah, it's a new album, and it's from the drummer of No Means No. John Wright is his name. I didn't know that he had a solo project out, but I found out this was just recently released. The band, again, is called Dead Bob, and the new album is Lifelike. We heard the track Party of One. Before that, we heard some material from Ancient Shapes. We heard something that came from a split that they did with another great group. I believe it was
Weird Nightmare.
Weird Nightmare, that's right. Yeah, so the split was I Think You Know / Bird with an Iron Head. We heard one of the tracks from Ancient Shapes' side of that record, Imaginary Agony. And before that, we heard a pair of tracks from Blue Oil. Again, this fantastic, very seminal Quebec punk group that was all based with female members. And it was the first all-female punk group to actually hail from Quebec.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about it last week. We featured two tracks from this, I guess it's an anthology. It's from the Supreme Echo label, which always puts out really cool, obscure releases of the OG punk stuff. We had Sardine City and From the Heart, and the name of the release is Blue Oil, 1981 to 1983. If you go to Supreme Echo's Bandcamp page, you can find more info and the other songs, and also you can purchase this on vinyl.
Yeah, it's well worth checking out. Supreme Echo also has a number of great releases, so we do encourage you to check that out just to peruse through what else they're offering. In addition to that, we heard a little bit of a mini set celebrating the 30th anniversary of Siamese Dream, an album by Smashing Pumpkins. This basically was the thing that propelled them into superstardom. And so, you know, I mulled over, are we going to play something from this or not? Because it was such a huge album, and I feel virtually every song on here became a hit, either as a hit single or I got regional radio play. So instead, we decided, let's do something a little bit differently. I played a cover version of the band's song Quiet, again, originally featured off of Siamese Dream from 1993. This rendition, though, was done by the indie group Fruit Bats, and they had a kind of a psychedelic 60s version of this song, taking away that grunge, guitar-laden sound for something a lot more ethereal. Mm-hmm. You can find that off of their 2021 album, where they covered the album in its entirety, also titled Siamese Dream. And before that, we heard Pissant, which was not an official album release, but it was released as a B-side for one of the singles from the album. The exact one is escaping my memory right now, but it's a great track. You really hear that kind of early punk influence the Pumpkins were dealing with. And, you know, as much as I give Billy Corgan a lot of flack, and I do, you know, I have to say, you know, at this time, hearing a band combine psychedelic rock, like early doom metal, along with punk was not really that common of a thing. Like,
no.
The Pumpkins really kind of made it what became the alternative sound, along with a lot of other huge forebearers at that time. But up until that point, it was a very unique sound to have, and no wonder the Pumpkins kind of took over radio waves with their sound, with huge singles like Today and Cherub Rock. And I will say, at least to me, there's still a lot of great songs on this album to check out. But if you do like that song we heard, Pissant, you can find that off of their 2011 reissue of the album.
And then we started off with a brand new single from Windsor's Psychic Void. We heard Back to Reality, single of, it's the name of the same single. It's released digitally. They're playing a show tonight with Hellraiser and a couple other punk and heavy bands at the Craft Heads here. And yeah, we really like that track, and we hear there's more coming and an album maybe in the fall, hopefully. So we'll definitely be playing more tracks from that in the coming weeks when they're released.
Well, I hope so. That would be amazing. You know, Dave, with that said, we do encourage people to check them out tonight. They're going to be at Craft Heads again. I believe they start around 10 o'clock.
Yeah, doors are at 9, according to the post online. But yeah, really different heavy punk type show going on tonight. And coming up next, we're actually going to be playing the entire New York Dolls debut album in full, but as we say, with a twist made up of album cuts, live versions, demos, different versions of songs that are on the album proper, to kind of have a different look at this album that was celebrating its 50th anniversary. We should mention New York Dolls would be highly influential, of course, known as a proto-punk band, glam band, on punk, and a lot of alternative music that would come. But at the time when they were starting out in the early 70s, music was very different, especially in New York. There was kind of, I was reading something on this earlier, kind of like a 60s psychedelic hangover, hanging over all of the music, and it was really kind of just this happy-go-lucky, over-the-top crap. No pun intended. Not everything was bad. Not everything was bad.
But it was like a throwback to like the Greenwich scene that no one was really like investing that much in, because I think there was a lot of disillusion of 60s, optimism at that point,
yeah.
Which is why, you know, bands like the Velvet Underground were so radical, because they were the anathema to that, the complete antithesis. And yet, you know, there weren't a lot of bands that straddled that fine line between the two, between hopefulness and the nihilism of the Velvets. And the New York Dolls came in somewhere in between, because unlike a lot of what their punk lineage would say, where they were aiming to destroy rock and roll, the New York Dolls loved rock and roll. In fact, what they did, I would actually argue, they took out this very, I would even argue, slightly racist element that was happening in progressive rock, where they were trying to say rock is unsophisticated, rock is backwards, taking out a lot of the blues and black musicians who influence music for the sake of